Welcome to the Locked on Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman, and it is a pleasure to be with you again. We are on our second show of the week. In our previous show, we talked a little bit about the start of the season, rumors that are out there right now, what it could mean for the Grizzlies and the rest of the NBA, some of the pros and cons about it. We also went into detail about prospect Grant Riller, just talking about him, you know, in our latest Grizzlies prospect profiles. We're going to continue that in today's show. In today's second and third segment, we'll talk about one of the players who I really feel the Grizzlies could focus on as at the number 40 pick, a guy that really makes sense on a lot of levels for Memphis. But in this first episode, I want to relive possibly the best moment of the 2019-2020 season. Perhaps, in my opinion, probably is the most memorable moment of the season. Before we get into detail on that, do we want to let you know you can follow the show at Locked on Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. The podcast is available wherever podcasts are, able to be listened to. Spotify, Stitcher, the iPod app on your phone, wherever you choose to listen to your podcast, we certainly are there. And my name is Sean Coleman. And, you know, I cherish every opportunity I get to do these podcasts. I've been doing, covering the Grizzlies now for a little over 2 years. Have done various things such as podcasts, writing, whatever it may be when it comes to covering the Grizzlies. I have certainly enjoyed doing, and I do it because it's a passion of mine, and I just enjoy interacting with others who share the same passions that I do. But the moment, of course, that I'm talking about is what occurred on October 27th, 2019. Now, as I mentioned, right now, we typically are starting the season when it comes to the NBA. Every other year besides 2020, we would be into our first three games or two or three games of the season. But of course, this year, with everything going haywire, we just ended it, the 2019-2020 season, a few weeks ago. But what we're going to do leading up to the start of the 2020-2021 season is that on the year anniversary of some of the most memorable games early in the season, especially early, in Ja Morant's rookie year, and of course, Brandon Clark, a couple games where he stood out. There were also a couple games where Jaren really took over. Going to relive those games, talk about some of the different things that really made them special, and also why they were growing opportunities and really just benchmark for this Grizzlies team as they were working out the kinks and truly getting into form to be one of the best surprises of the 2019-2020 season. But of course, I'm talking about the game versus the Nets. Everybody remembers it for the block, but there was a lot more that actually went into that game. Leading up to the third game of the season, the Grizzlies had come off of games against both the Heat and the Bulls. And a couple of unfortunate trends were starting to develop about this Memphis team. At this point, showing that they seemed to be what many thought they were, and that was a near lottery lock. While a very intriguing team, still a team that was in the bottom third of the NBA, just to be honest. When those two games against the Bulls and the Heat, a couple of trends started to occur. One was that the Grizzlies got off to good starts. They got off to leads in the first half in both games. But unfortunately, they also got blown out in the third quarter, a theme that had been there, during their struggles the previous two seasons. So in the first two games, Memphis had really gotten ahead and was playing well, and then after halftime, they just could not make adjustments, and both the Heat and Bulls wound up coming back to win the games pretty handedly in the two first contests of last season. Another unfortunate trend was that the Grizzlies, started off the season with some real struggles against perimeter players. I believe in both the Heat and Bulls game, they both had perimeter players, guards/wings, who scored more than 20 points, each, including Justice Winslow, in that game for the Heat. Now with the Memphis Grizzlies, obviously, but to open the season, he had a phenomenal game against the Grizzlies in the Heat's opening night victory. So just some struggles, which were expected, but there was some intriguing play. Ja Morant showed flashes of his talent. Jaren Jackson Jr. showed that he was ready to pick up where he left off coming, off a rookie season that ended in injury, and we also started to see some really encouraging play from Brandon Clark, Tyus Jones, and others. So we come to the third game, October 27th, 2019, against the Nets. And in the game, Memphis got off to a very hot start. Memphis took a 35-29 lead in the first quarter. Well, then the Nets came back, and over the next two quarters, they outscored the Grizzlies by 11 points. So they were up 6 points going in to the fourth quarter. Of course, the trends were starting to show again after the Grizzlies started off hot, got off to a lead. They then gave it up, and a big reason why was because of big games from the opposing team's backcourt, in this case, Kyrie Irving and Caris LeVert. Well, as we entered the fourth quarter, it seemed like Kyrie was going to be very, very hard to stop, and that proved to be the case. However, the legend of Ja Morant really had its first chapter written in that fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, Ja Morant showed the first occurrence of so many wonderful things that Morant were confirmed were legitimate parts of his talent going forward. For one, it was the closing ability in the fourth quarter. Ja Morant entered the fourth quarter, I believe, with 10 points through three quarters. However, he scored 18 points in the fourth quarter, really putting on display his ability to close, which, as we mentioned, he quickly emerged as one of the best closers, not only in the NBA today, but one of the best rookie closers in terms of fourth quarter production in NBA history. There also was the playmaking ability. In that fourth quarter, he was able to lead the Grizzlies back and outscored the Nets 28-23. Not only was it his scoring, but it was finding his teammates to set up their shots. And of course, after tying the game, you know, in the fourth quarter, there was what is now known as the block. Kyrie Irving got the ball. The Nets were clearly setting him up for an isolation play on a rookie that they thought would not be able to handle the defense. And Ja was able to handle his own and block Kyrie's attempt. Well, of course, we go into overtime. Morant only scored 2 points in overtime, but at the end of the game, obviously, his playmaking ability, being able to penetrate the ball, even though it was at the three-point line, his playmaking ability with the toss back to Jay Crowder allowed the Grizzlies to hit the game-winning shot. It was the first win in the career of Taylor Jenkins. It was the first true breakout performance in which Ja Morant showed he can close out a game. It was also a game in which Brandon Clark was 5 of 12 himself for 10 points. Jaren Jackson struggled a bit, but Dylan Brooks also really had a good game. So it was really the first clear sign to the Grizzlies and to the NBA. It was that opening statement, that first clear statement by Ja Morant that he was here to take center stage, to establish himself as one of the true up-and-coming stars in the game, establish himself as the Rookie of the Year favorite, and also establish himself as a true franchise star for Memphis, the type of star that franchises dream they could have. And of course, he made that dream come true starting 1 year ago for Memphis. Now, obviously, it was not the best game, you know, of, you know, his 2019-2020 season. That arguably was against both the Lakers in late February and also again in the bubble against both the Celtics and the Portland Trailblazers. But it was the first of only two times this season, despite that game against Portland, in which Ja Morant scored 30 points. So just that ability for Morant to truly take over the game, especially late, that was put on display. The ability that the stage and the spotlight was not too big of for him when he made that block on Kyrie, that was on display. And the other thing that was on display was his playmaking ability. And in the clutch, even if he's not scoring, in high leverage, you know, situations, you know, when the Grizzlies have to make a play, his playmaking was on point, obviously. So a year ago today was truly the first time Ja Morant really made it clear just how talented and just how special he could be. And of course, as we all know, the rest is history. Within a short amount of time, as we'll see when we cover a few more of these games over the next month or so, we'll continue to see how consistent he was at showing how special he truly is. Speaking of something that is special, obviously shooting talent in today's NBA is a very special trait for teams to have. That is especially true when it comes to the front court. Coming up, we're going to look at a prospect who I really think makes sense for Memphis, and I really feel could be the one prospect in the second round who truly meets Coach Taylor Jenkins' preferences when it comes to talent he's looking to add this offseason for the Grizzlies. We all want to add health to our day, and that certainly starts with commitment, as well as, you know, the ability to really prefer changes to lifestyles that we can maintain. And while exercise and walking and other things such as that certainly can help, another solution that may seem like a small change but in the end can offer big benefit is Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It legitimately allows for you to have a tasty treat while also benefiting your health. It also can be, you know, a part of any time of the day for you. at breakfast, before or after a workout, in the afternoon, perhaps, when you're listening to your favorite Locked On Network show. And the thing about it is, if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you'll have a wide assortment of flavors. I personally like the peanut butter, but whatever flavor you prefer, Built Bar is likely to have it. Also, at BuiltBar.com, if you put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your next order from Built Bar. That's $10 off your next order from Built Bar while supplies last, but I can tell you this with confidence. Once you add Built Bar to your daily routine, it's likely going to be there to stay. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code Locked On, like Locked On, and get $10 off your next order from Built Bar. So I may be giving my age away a little bit here when I state that, you know, during my, you know, preteen and teenage years, that happened to fall right around the same time that the Attitude Era was going on in the WWE. And so one of the better emerging talents towards the end of that Attitude Era that I think is underappreciated at times was Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle, one of his famous catchphrases was the three I's: intelligence, integrity, and intensity. He had the three I's that he lived by. And it's amazing when you come to doing these prospect profiles how many of these, you know, different words to describe these guys, these staple words, power words, you know, start with I: intensity, integrity, you know, intelligence, instinct, ingenuity, whatever it may be. Well, I think a lot of those I words, they really do come into play with who we are going to talk about today as far as our prospect profile goes. But another even bigger one that stands out more than any other when it comes to Killian Tilly from Gonzaga is injuries. Injuries are the one thing that I think make Tilly, you know, someone that truly is in the range of being in that late first, early second round, trajectory in terms of his trajectory in terms of where he's going to be drafted. But I think that in terms of the players that we are talking about, Killian Tilly may be the most ideal and the most logical fit for the Grizzlies. And so, of course, you know, I'm talking about his injuries. We'll get to that in a second. Obviously, you know, being from Gonzaga, Killian Tilly, you know, comes from a source that we know well and comes from a source that we know can produce, you know, big men that can translate really well to the NBA. And of course, that's from the Grizzlies drafting Brandon Clark. But what about Killian Tilly really stands out as to why he makes so much sense, you know, for NBA teams to look at, for him to potentially be a steal at where he's going to be drafted, and especially for the Grizzlies to really focus on him? Well, it's his three-point stroke. That is straightforward what it is. It is his ability to shoot the three. Now, Tilly is someone that is going to be limited in terms of his ability to shoot the three. He doesn't have the resourcefulness that we've talked about with a lot of these smaller guards and a lot of these wings, but the accuracy at which he shoots it and the ability that he has, he's not going to create for himself a lot of times. Just because being at 6'10", you know, it's harder for him to move in small spaces. The quickness is not necessarily there. And as we mentioned, the injuries have kind of sapped, you know, with that little bit of his athleticism. But the way in which he's able to get open for threes, it may not be the same way that others can do it based off, you know, their ball handling, based off their quickness, based off their self-sufficient resourcefulness. But with Tilly, it's another part of his game that really stands out along with his shooting, and that's with his footwork. Overall at Gonzaga, Tilly attempted 239 threes, you know, in his 4 years at Gonzaga. He made 106 of them. So you would look at that and you would think, okay, you know, the volume really isn't there. But for a guy his size, a guy who's going to play the 4 or 5 in the NBA, it really is eye-opening just how well he is, just how adept he is at being able to get open for the three. He can do it in pick and pop, do it coming out of different play, from different play schemes. He can roll to the open spot, has a knack for finding the open spot, and is really, really a threat to be someone who in a catch and shoot opportunity can shoot the three. And that's what's going to allow for him to stay on the court on offense, is he's truly being a threat that defenses are going to have to respect when it comes to his three-point shooting ability. But that's not just it. The other reason why he's such a good shooter besides his stroke itself, and his stroke does have some support, he certainly does seem to have some touch either on floaters or on his jump shots. He seems to be able to have some touch and intelligence around the rim, so him being able to repeat his form is certainly there. But the other big key about Killian Tilly is his footwork. He does not waste steps. He knows to whether it be in small spaces or in his intent to get across the court, he knows how to use his footwork to get open. And that really allows for him to be consistent as far as a catch-and-shoot opportunity, because no matter what scheme the defense may throw out there, Tilly's footwork should allow for him to be able to create the space needed to get open for a good look from the Grizzlies' guards to, you know, shoot the three. But the other big thing about his footwork is that that also allows for him to be impactful on defense. Now, again, the injuries, and we'll get to that in a second, the injuries have sapped his ability a bit to really, as a one-on-one type producer, be effective. He doesn't have the ability to really be an elite shot blocker. His ability to move with quicker guards and in smaller players may not be there like it once was. But his footwork, knowing, you know, how to effectively cover area and knowing how to position himself, that helps him both as a help defender at the rim and on the perimeter to lead the blocks, to lead the deflections, being able to anticipate what's going on. So the two big things about Killian Tilly is really his shooting ability for a big, as well as his footwork, and that footwork allowing for him to be consistent and not to be too much of a worry as being a liability, both on offense and defense, even though he can't create himself, just for naturally being his size, but also because of the injuries, you know, that have occurred. But I was talking with a few people about Killian Tilly previously, and they mentioned that he could be the poster boy in this draft class of your best asset. Your best strength is availability. And it's hard really to be able to, you know, trust his availability due to the injuries that he's had. Now, I don't necessarily think any of his injuries are long-term to where they're impacting him. I mean, this season, he played in 24 games, still shot 53% from the field, averaged 13.6 points, 5 rebounds, you know, and 1.9 assists, one steal and 0.8 blocks per game. So he still was able to play and be productive. However, in terms of the athleticism that you ideally would like to see, I think Tilly may be considered below average. But when it comes to his shooting, when it comes to his footwork, those two things are certainly there. And there's also some encouraging signs for him to continue to develop in other areas that you really would love to see a big man do in the NBA, especially his ability as a secondary playmaker. He averaged 1.9 assists per game, but also averaged only 1 turnover. So that shows that his decision-making certainly is something that could be in the process of improving. Overall, Tilly just seems to be, he may not be the type of guy that can play 35 to 40 minutes every single night, but he really does seem to be the guy who not only has the main skill that you really would like from your big in today's NBA in terms of having, you know, true shooting ability, but there's depth in his game that not only allows for him to contribute in other ways, but also to not negate from the value that he provides offensively, because he can still remain a benefit on defense. So with all that being said, you know, the Grizzlies already have ideal big men when it comes to Jonas Valanciunas, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Brandon Clark. So why would Killian Tilly really stand out as an option? Well, it's not just because the Grizzlies need shooting. There are a few different reasons as to why I think Killian Tilly really could make sense for the Grizzlies, and why I think he likely is going to be one of the players at the top of their draft board when it comes to their pick in this draft. So we discuss, when it comes to Killian Tilly, the things that really stand out that make him attractive, you know, as a player. It's not only obvious his obvious shooting ability, it's the consistency that he can remain, you know, that reliable shooter, and also, you know, not be a liability on defense due to his footwork, his intelligence, you know, his instincts. And there's also finally, you know, the fact that he has, you know, some encouraging signs that he can continue to develop secondary skills that will really be valuable, such as being, you know, an effective passer and playmaker as a big. Of course, there's also the consideration of the injuries. You know, is that something that's going to continue to haunt him, or could he potentially move past that and be a true steal? I think Tilly really jumps out as someone that makes a lot of sense for the Grizzlies because, again, it comes to those boxes being checked. So, you know, we've talked about the developmental big being a potential target that the Grizzlies could have. Well, not only is Tilly the developmental big in terms of what he can do in terms of, you know, potentially being able to develop on defense and as a secondary playmaker, but the other big thing that his game offers is matching Taylor Jenkins' preferences. We saw it in what Taylor Jenkins did with how he utilized Jaren Jackson Jr., with the fact that he, you know, showed a preference to Anthony Tolliver over Gorgui Dieng in the bubble. He wants to have his bigs as available to shoot. Jonas Valanciunas is what he is. He's a needed rebounder and inside presence. So obviously, you know, he's going to be used in that role. But in terms of the other positions that are on the court, Taylor Jenkins highly prefers his bigs to be able to shoot. And I truly feel that just from the conversations that you've seen Taylor Jenkins have, the ability, the different, you know, strategies that he's shown, I think just like wanting a point guard who's highly efficient at keeping the offensive successful, you want as many minutes of that on the court. I think that that's something that Taylor Jenkins wants from his front court. He wants a consistent shooting threat on the court that really can make the defenses have to respect, you know, that big that can get out and shoot the three. So if you've already got Jonas Valanciunas, you've got Brandon Clark, and you've got Jaren Jackson Jr., but now you sit there and you draft Killian Tilly, he comes in, maybe you put him in South Haven for a little bit, but he comes in and he's that fourth big. Well, now, at any point in time, you've got the combination of Jonas and Jaren, but you also have the combination of the two Gonzaga bigs in Brandon Clark and Killian Tilly, guys who can work together, they know each other from previous experience, and also there's a lot of versatility as far as their games. There's the efficiency of Brandon Clark when it comes to around the rim, shooting his floater, popping out as a potential three-point shot on a catch-and-shoot opportunity. Now you add in Killian Tilly's, obvious ability to be a three-point, threat at any point in time. You're just sitting there now and achieving Taylor Jenkins and obviously the Grizzlies' goals, really any team's goal in the NBA, of having as many lineups as possible with multiple shooters on the court. So I think that's why Killian Tilly really stands out, even to the point to where if the Grizzlies just feel that he makes sense and they find the right deal, I think kind of like I mentioned with Isaiah Joe, I think Killian Tilly is someone you could see the Grizzlies trade up for. Perhaps his injury history, which also cannot be ignored, perhaps that makes him fall to the Grizzlies, you know, at the number 40 pick. I do think, though, that a contender is likely going to make him a preference for what he can offer and the way that his game translates to the NBA as a big. But yes, due to his skill set, due to the developing parts of his game that make sense, and due to the fact that we have seen Taylor Jenkins, we have seen him stay committed to his preferences, even if perhaps he may not be playing the more overall talented player, he wants that shooting threat that's out there. And if the Grizzlies can truly gain a significant shooting talent like Tilly, and you also see parts of his game that will allow for him to continue to be valuable outside of scoring, and he's not negating the value that he's adding as a shooter, I really think that checks a ton of boxes for the Grizzlies. And I do think that Tilly is probably one of the more logical and, you know, more, you know, upside and exciting potential additions the Grizzlies could make at the number 40 position. So it really will be interesting to see what happens. I really, as we start to get closer to the draft, we start to see some of these players that, you know, the Grizzlies may be linked to. I really am hoping that they are linked to Killian Tilly for a workout or interview or whatever it may be. If they can show preference in him, I think that that's someone you really could see them try to focus on and maybe even make a move up for in the 2020 NBA draft. Tomorrow, I am glad, speaking of Killian Tilly, there is another fan of his that will be on the show tomorrow, and that is Ben Pfeiffer. I had mentioned him last week and earlier this week. Really excited to be able to get to talk with him. He is one of the co-hosts of the Prep to Pro pods, a very bright young NBA draft mind. I cannot wait to talk with him, and I cannot wait for y'all to hear his insight. So he will be on the show with us tomorrow, and then we'll wrap up this week. We'll certainly keep you updated on any NBA news as it comes along. Obviously, obviously. You know, it's going to continue to be fast-paced with, you know, the hope that the season can start sooner than expected, you know, in December. We'll keep you updated with that, but we'll also continue our prospect profiles. Again, you can find myself at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz, and also the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, you know, the podcast app on your phone. Until next time, thank you so much for joining us here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Have a great day.